And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put up for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Amen. And God will bless the reading of his own inspired. You know, there were three great events in the life of Jacob. The first one took place in Genesis 28, and it was the moment of his conversion. The second was in Genesis 32, the moment of his blessing. Remember when he cried, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And the third was on his deathbed in Genesis 49, when every one of the sons was brought to stand before him. So there were these three great events in his life. When you come to the moment of his conversion in Genesis chapter 28, the first thing I want you to notice tonight is what I call Jacob running. Jacob running. Because what's happening here in Genesis 28, Jacob has been running from his brother Esau, whose birthright he had stolen and whose blessing he received. He's on the run. He's running from Esau because Esau had threatened to kill him. He's running from his past. He had deceived his father and defrauded his brother. And now he's trying to run away. I wonder if that could be like you this evening. Maybe someone in Lisburn tonight trying to run from your past. Trying to run from your past failures. Trying to run from your past sins. Running with a troubled conscience, seeking to run away from God, Something in the past is hunting you. Something from the past is disturbing you. Something from the past is occupying your conscience tonight. And all along, you've been trying to run from it. Maybe like Achan. Remember when we read about Achan in the scriptures? Achan, taking the Babylonian garment and the money, he tried to hide it. And maybe something from the past that has been disturbing you, you have sought to hide it. But your conscience is troubling and you're trying to run from it. Maybe like David, your soul is all dried up because of some sin you've committed. Like David, you've lost the joy that you used to have. You know, when I read through the New Testament, I wonder sometimes when you read the Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached, remember what happened on the day of Pentecost? They actually thought that the disciples were drunk. And I often wondered, I wonder what they would think if they looked at the church today. They wouldn't say it's drunk, they'd say it's dead. Because so many of us have lost the joy. We're going through the motions, but we've lost the joy. The joy is gone. And we're trying to run from something that's robbing us of the joy of the Lord, of the joy of salvation, of the joy of sins forgiven. Wonder, is that you tonight? In my last church, the manse was behind the church, which is good if your children are very young. It's bad if your children are up. But on a Saturday night, about midnight, there used to come this knock on the window. And when I would open the door, there was a man from around the area standing drunk. And he wanted to get in, and if you get him in, you can't get him out. And I used to stick him into the car and drive him home. In fact, he told someone at the UDA headquarters, he says, I have my own taxi up here. And as we would go home, he was so drunk, and he would start to tell me about things from the past. Things from the past. And I'm not talking about little things. I'm talking about big things. And such was the trouble in his conscience, that the only way he tried to calm the conscience was by getting completely drunk. He was trying to run from his past, and he was having real difficulty. You may be running tonight from a past sin or a troubled conscience. You only know what you're running from tonight, but you know that you're miserable. You've lost the joy that the Lord had once given Jacob running. But when he runs, he comes to the spot where he's got the rest. And the second picture you have in Genesis 28 is of Jacob resting. He lies down to rest with a stone for his pillow. And the last thing he's expecting as he puts his head on the pillow is a confrontation with God. He's not expecting this. He comes to the point of rest, he puts his head on the pillow, and he has a dream. Now I'm sure at some time or other, you've had a dream. You have. A friend of mine told me, he said, you know, I was dreaming. And the next thing, my wife wakened up screaming. He says, in the dream, I had her around the neck. I was almost choking. And tried to tell me it was a dream. Or the wife that got up in the morning, she told her husband, I dreamed last night. I dreamed that you give me £100. He says, keep it. Dreaming is nothing unusual. But Jacob has a dream. Now, in this dream, certain things happen. Certain things happen. And in his dream, he sees a place. Sees a place. Heaven. You know, it's interesting if you read this, and I'm not here to do this tonight, but if you take the verses 12, 13, 14, 15, four times he uses this phrase, behold, 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 behold. Four times. And he has a dream, and in the dream, he sees heaven. Sees the ladder leading up to heaven. Now we know tonight that heaven is a wonderful place. We know that. We know that when the Lord Jesus had told the disciples that he was about to leave them and go to heaven, that their hearts were filled with sorrow and with sadness. And so to comfort their sorrowing hearts, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Speaks about heaven, the Father's house. No place like home. No matter how much you travel, it's always good to get home. And heaven is home. And what an experience is going to be. When the Apostle Paul was caught up into the third heaven, remember he was taken outside Lystra, stoned and left for dead. He speaks of his experience 14 years after it happened. Modern day evangelists would be writing a book right away. They would be on the television right away to see what money they could make out of it. But Paul's caught up into the third heaven. And he speaks about it and he says, I knew a man above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell. But such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And after his experience of being caught up into the third heaven, he begins to write words like, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. As far as the Apostle Paul was concerned, the best is yet to be in heaven with Christ. You know, when you come to the book of Revelation and John's caught up into heaven. Oh, I love this. He's caught up into heaven. And you see him in Revelation 5. You see the Lamb upon the throne. And then he gives us this portrait, this picture. He said, you know, I see the redeemed from every nation, every kindred, every tribe, and every tongue. And they're singing unto the Lamb upon the throne, thou art worthy. For thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Out of every kindred, nation, tribe, and tongue. I love singing. And I love good singing. And I'll tell you what, when I get to heaven, I'm going to sing like I've never sang before. There's a whole lot of people are going to feel out of place in heaven. Because when you come through the scriptures and you begin to see, when they had the temple, my, the choirs they had, the music they had, as they praised the Lord. What's it going to be like when we all get to heaven? I wonder what it's going to be like. Boy, when I see those black boys there last week, I don't know who's going to lead the singing, but if them boys do it, I'll tell you, we're in for some session in heaven. You'll not be at peace for the whole of eternity and them boys get going. And you take all the singers from all the nations who have one thing in common. They have all been redeemed, and they're all around the throne. Oh, praise God, what a day that's going to be. Can you imagine the hallelujah chorus around the throne of heaven, singing unto the Lamb upon the throne? My Jacob had a dream. He's there tonight, but he had a dream then. He saw heaven. Saw heaven. And in the dream, not only does he see heaven, but he sees a person. Sees the place, and then he sees the person. You see, years later, when the Lord Jesus Christ was talking with Nathanael, he identified himself as the ladder Jacob saw. In other words, heaven is a real place, and it can be reached through a real person, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way that you can get to this heaven. There's only one way that will take you there. And it's the way of the cross. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross, his brow is crowned, his face is marred, his back is battered, his hands and his feet are pierced, and when he cries from the cross, "Finished," the veil of the temple's rent in twain from top to bottom, he has made a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. That's why he said in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Oh, there's only the one way that will take you to heaven. And it's the way of the cross. A whole lot of people are trying a whole lot of ways. Some people are trying through just mere religion. Some religious creed, some good works, some self-righteousness. A whole lot of people trying a whole lot of ways to get to heaven. But I'll tell you tonight, there's only the one way. And Jesus said, "I am the way." Can you imagine Jacob with his head on an old stone, and God shows him heaven, and then he shows him how to get there? I mean, there's no use talking about heaven if you don't know how to get there. Don't know how to get there. And then he receives a promise. Not only does he see a place and a person, but he receives a promise. Verses 13 and 14, he says, "Behold, the Lord stood above," that's the ladder, "and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it unto thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south, and the knee, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Now he gets a promise. He says, "You see the land where on your line, I'm giving it to your seed." Now I know some of you will disagree with me tonight, but you have a right to be wrong. Nobody's going to take the land off them, because God has given it to them. No conditions attached here. No conditions. What a promise to get. I'm fascinated with all that's going on in the world tonight, and it's not my topic. But it almost seems to me that God is shaping everything up for the final battle. And I believe as a people of God tonight, we're almost home. Almost home. Soon we're going to see the King in all his beauty. He receives a promise. But not only that, watching this dream, he not only sees a place and sees a person and receives a promise, but he's assured of a presence. Here's what the Lord says in verse 15. "I will be with thee. I will be with thee." You see, the Lord doesn't save you and leave you. No. He goes with you. How many times do you hear people saying, "Well, you know, I don't think I could keep it." Neither you could. Neither you could. But I'll tell you what. The one who does the keeping is the one that walks with you. He's the one that goes with you. You don't do the keeping. You just do the trusting. He does the keeping. And then you get the other person and they come and they'll say, well, you know what? I tried it and it doesn't work. Well, if you tried it and it doesn't work, you didn't get it. Because when you get it, it works. Any man in Christ is a new creation. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. I'll tell you, the morning I got it, I'd got it all right. I've never been the same since. Never been the same since. I remember getting up on the old knees in the place where I worked after trusting Christ and saying, Lord, if it's for real, there's the gambling, there's the smoking, there's the drinking, there's the problems that have been entangling our life, and I've never been able to get free. And Jesus just broke the fetters and set me free. And I've been free ever since. Free ever since. Hallelujah. Now, dead Baptists should shout hallelujah when you experience a power like that. You need to learn to shout hallelujah, for you're going to shout it in heaven. So you might as well learn down here. Don't be like a dead old Baptist. Just be glad you're saved tonight if you're saved. Shout hallelujah. Oh yes, you see, he is assured of a presence. I will be with thee. I will be with thee. And you see, when it comes to the end of the journey, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. What a savior. What a dream. What a dream. And you know, he's not only sees the place and the person and the promise and the presence, but he experiences a power. God says, I'll keep you. I'll keep you. Praise God, he'll keep you till the river rolls its waters at your feet. And then he'll bear you safely over where the loved ones we shall meet. He does the keeping, you do the trusting. That's the God we have tonight. I'll tell you, if it didn't satisfy, I wouldn't be here tonight. You think I'd have give up the card school and the Shankill Road on a Sunday night if I'd got something that didn't satisfy? Not in your life. Jesus, really. Satisfies. He keeps. Then notice something else. You're all right and keep me on the clock. So don't get it worried. That's the good news. The bad news is I can't read it. Look at Jacob repenting now. You see, fear gripped his soul. Verse 17, we're told, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? The house of God became a terrible place as God himself was revealed to him. Fear gripped his soul. I often lament the fact. I often think of the days when I was saved. When you could see after the preaching of the gospel, people broken down in their sin in the meeting. When you could see the tears flowing down the cheeks. When you could see people, as it were, riveted to their seat because the Spirit of God had brought such a deep conviction in their soul. They didn't want to leave until they got right with God. Oh, God, I cry sometimes, give us a bit of this old-fashioned conviction. That we might see Holy Ghost conviction. People broken down in their sin. People seeking, searching for a Savior. And he's afraid because God has begun to work in his heart. And the fear of God is filling his breast. God's at work. And maybe tonight God's at work in your heart. Maybe tonight God's at work in your life. You've been trying to run, but you can find nowhere else to run. And God has brought you into Lisburn Baptist Church tonight because God wants to break you down. He wants to deal with you. He wants to bring you through to saving faith with Him. That's why you're here. Oh, you see Jacob repenting. You see, Luz means separation. Bethel means house of God. And what you have here in Genesis 28 is a beautiful picture of a man who has been separated from God because of his sin and wicked works, being brought nigh to God. On the one side it was Luz separation, on the other Bethel, house of God. And the man who was separated from God finds his way to the house of God and the presence of God and the joy of God because the Spirit of God has brought a deep conviction in his soul. Paul reminds us, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You can be brought nigh. You can be saved tonight. You can be satisfied tonight. You can be set free tonight. Because Jesus broke Satan's power at Calvary, Jesus Christ can break Satan's power in your life tonight. That's the Savior we have and the power we speak about tonight. And then it finishes like this. You see him running, you see him resting, you see him repenting, and then you see him rejoicing. What a change there is in Jacob's life. You see, people will notice the difference. They'll notice the difference. You see, up until this moment, the ruling passion in his life was greed. Up until this moment, he always wanted to get. Now he wanted to give. Isn't that an amazing thing? He says, Lord, I'm going to give you a tenth of all that I have. You've done so much for me, Lord. I want to give you. And he's going to give back to God. I know that we Baptists don't like to talk about tithing and giving and all this sort of stuff. Somebody says to me, I notice in your church you don't take up an offering. I says, no, we don't charge you to get in. We charge you to get out. There's a box at the door. I used to sing in a quartet. I remember many years ago. Let's tell you this. And we were asked to go to this church away up in the village, somewhere up in the country. When we got there, it was a sort of supposed to be a singing night. And the old minister was there, and there was a couple of other singers there. I don't know who they are. Somebody got up and sang about the rooks coming home and all this. Nobody sang the gospel. And when we got up, we were going to sing. It was a village thing, and all the dignitaries were there sitting along the front row and all this. And it came to the offering, and the old minister had the old black robe on. If I had any money, I'd have bought him a new one, for it was ripped. And he stood at the front, and when it came to the offering, he puts his hand in his pocket and he put in the old 10-shilling note and put it to the front row. Well, if it comes to you and there's a 10-shilling note on it, you're not going to put a penny on it. Old boy at crafty. You watch these elders when they're putting into the box there, you know what they're at. And then it went down round. And when it came back, it was full of notes. I mean, it was full of notes. And then he says, let's pray. And he turned round and walked up towards the altar. And he put his hand on the plate and took his 10 shillings off again and put it in his pocket. He only put that in the plate to get the ball rolling. The ball rolling. But here's a man here, and he's really rejoicing. Why? Because the Lord has set him free. The Lord has set him free. And when the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Don't be put into bondage to legalism or anything else. When he sets you free, you're free indeed. You're free indeed. And I'm glad tonight that I'm free. Free as a bird. Led a big fellow to the Lord one night at a mission. And I met him one day out at Marks and Spencer's there at Sprucefield. And he was a two or three rows away over. I was standing waiting on the wife in round them rails. The best place to wait, and the wife's outside. But I was standing, and he's over there. And he shouts right over Marks and Spencer's, "What about you, Jackie?" And I looked over and I said, "How are you?" And he shouted back, "I'm in love." Well, everybody in Marks and Spencer's turned around. And then he says, "I'm in love with Jesus because Jesus has set me free." Hallelujah. I'm talking about joy tonight. I'm talking about joy. Why talk about the Bible talking about joy if we are not joyful? Why? The joy of the Lord. Just last Sunday afternoon, when I was in the squatter camp, and it was almost 30 degrees, and they have their little church in an old tin hut. I'll tell you, it was hot. And when we went, the man said, "They want to sing for you." And all these African ladies get up and they started to sing. And I'll tell you, they get into the groove when they were singing. And they sang and sang. And then after I preached, this big black woman just came up, right up to the pulpit. Nobody said a thing. And she came up to the pulpit and she started to sing. "My sin was higher than the mountain, but Jesus has set me free, and now I'm satisfied." I'll tell you, shout out hallelujah, because Jesus Christ brings joy that the world knows nothing about. And thank God the world can't take it away from us tonight. But here's the beauty about it. The experience Jacob had is the experience you could have tonight. You could have that experience tonight if you come in total repentance, believing that on that cross he took your place. He died for your sin. He rose to be your Savior. And if you were to come to him tonight as a repentant sinner, praise God, he could work a miracle in your heart and your life, and you could go home rejoicing tonight. All heaven would rejoice, but you could go home rejoicing tonight. You could take him home with you. May God help you to do it. We can help you tonight. We'd love to help you to find a Savior tonight. Love to do it. But take him with you tonight and get ready for the choir in the sky when we praise God for the countless ages of eternity. For his name.